The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Stop beating around the bush, man. Just play the schedule game.
You want me to make my argument now?
No.
Oh my God. The Willy Wonka golden ticket promotional idea is probably the best idea I have ever had. Probably the best idea anybody has ever had. I slipped 5 pieces of gold paper into random paper shipments. This entitles the customer to 10% off of their total order.
All right, here you go. You want best or worst case?
Tell us when you look at it.
Throughout the course of the offseason, you're going to do it 8 more times
before the one day we actually want you to do it.
Oh, he found a golden ticket. One of my clients found a golden ticket.
Yeah.
No, congratulations. Hold on one sec, Tom. What's that? You found 5 golden tickets. And does it say limit 1 per customer?
You guys are going to get blasted later. Finally come up with a great idea.
Okay.
My golden ticket idea? Okay. Why would anyone think that this is my golden ticket idea?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he.
Maybe you've seen the breaking news already this morning, but Paul George is in fact headed to the Philadelphia 76ers. That gives them the big three of Embiid, Maxey, and George, who were all-stars last season. And ESPN.com is calling this one of the most formidable big threes in recent NBA history. Should Bucks fans be concerned? And there it is right there. Tyrese Maxey agrees to a 5-year, $204 million max contract with the 76ers as they lock up all these guys. Should Bucks fans be concerned, Gabe, about the moves the 76ers are making? I know your position has been, until the 76ers show me that they can be a championship caliber team, I'm not going to believe it.
No, I mean, does this make them better? Absolutely. But at the same time, this is a team that hasn't been able to get to an Eastern Conference Finals, like, since Allen Iverson, right? So they still have to have a lot of things go right for them. They still need to find a way to get Joel Embiid healthy, because without Embiid being healthy, really none of it matters. And Paul George is somebody who also has not been able to stay healthy. So this is a good team on paper, but we'll see how this all comes together. We'll see what they look like, especially health-wise, when we get toward the end of the regular season.
Well, they have to do something, because the Knicks got better as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So where would you put them in the East? Still 2 behind the Celtics?
I think they are. A lot of people, you know, if you happen to be watching ESPN at all this morning, if you listen or read any of the national stuff, it's, who's a bigger challenger, 76ers or Knicks? Which, honestly, is the perfect spot for the Bucks.
So,
fly under the radar, man, because you get Giannis healthy, Giannis and Dame and whatever else are going to add to this roster, they're going to be a really good team. They're going to be in that top 4. They're going to be one of the teams pushing the Celtics.
So does free agency have to kind of run its course, and then the Bucks
would be up with
trade possibilities?
Yeah, the Bucks are not a part of this first wave. They can't afford anybody in the first wave. So this first wave, you got to wait for that to die out before the Bucks really start kind of wheeling and dealing.
So, Gabe, you prefer for all of these other teams to make a bunch of big moves, to get the attention on them, targets on their back, etc. Who can beat the Boston Celtics? Who will knock them off in the East? And for the Bucks to just kind of exist? You accept that they have to do something, as Chewy said, because what they are right now doesn't feel like it's good enough. And, oh, by the way, don't forget about the Pacers making a ton of moves, right? Didn't they lock up
a bench player, Obi Toppin?
No. Pascal Siakam yesterday, right?
Oh.
Or they're planning to. That's
yeah,
at least
planning
in the works
to, yeah.
as well.
But I guess I'm not that scared. I think the Pacers aren't as good as these other teams, despite doing what they did and making a run to the Eastern Conference Finals.
But you can't dismiss it.
I can.
You think it was mostly luck?
Yeah, I mean, the entire Eastern Conference was beat up, man. Like, the Pacers aren't making the run they're making unless the Knicks aren't healthy, the Bucks aren't healthy, and the 76ers aren't healthy. Like, they're just still not on that same level of those other teams. The Bucks, again, it's going to have to be minor things because they can't afford to take a big swing. Would I have preferred if Paul George stayed with the Clippers out West? Yeah, I would have preferred that. So I can't deny that Philadelphia isn't better. But at the same time, they got to go out and prove it, man. Because for how long have we listened to the process and they're going to be so good and him and Embiid and Simmons and, well, we're going to trade away Simmons and that's not going to work. And, oh, Embiid and Harden, and Harden leaves because they can't get out of the second round. Like, I don't fear the Sixers until they prove they actually should be.
But doesn't this version of the Bucks also have to prove it, guys?
Yes. And what if they don't do anything? If they just roll it back, are you going to feel good at the start of this? I'm not. At the start of the season next year?
I think that they're, even if they don't do much, and because they have to do something. They don't have a starting shooting guard right now. So they're going to have to do some things. And the different, you know, Beasley's not going to be coming back. But I think the consistency of actually having a head coach, one that the players actually trust and believe in, having Giannis and Dame together for an entire training camp, I think those are things that are big for the Bucks.
Yeah, but it's not that they don't have the talent to win it all. I just don't trust them from a health standpoint. Everyone's going to be a year older.
Well, there's nothing you can do about health, and there's nothing you can do about age, unless you. I don't know with the investments that you're making. Are you investing in some sort of anti-aging device that you can pass along to the Bucks?
Well, I think they'd be considered PEDs, but I don't have problems with PEDs anymore.
Well, do you have a good PED guy you can pass along to the Bucks?
He has a Viagra ring. We know there's no issue with PEDs.
I think that's going to hinder him on the basketball court more than help.
I want the blood to be in one area. Yes. It wouldn't be more spread out.
That's one area. So you're not buying any sort of panic that Bucks fans might be feeling as they see all of these moves and all of these changes occur in the Eastern Conference and wonder where they land in the hierarchy of things.
No, I'm not that scared. Because also, like with the Knicks, like we'll see how that all plays out, man, over the course of a regular season. There's a reason they were so beat up, because Tibbs is hard on his players. Like, that could be a continuous thing that constantly happens, because there's a reason why Tom Thibodeau's bounced from place to place to place to place, has almost immediate success, and then that kind of peters out, because his teams just are asked to do way too much over the course of 82 games, and then they're not healthy when they get to the postseason.
Justin weighing in saying, Paul George has quite literally done nothing everywhere he has gone. Obviously, it makes them better, but the George love across the league is way overblown. Meanwhile, TC weighing in saying, NBA free agency and certain trades, Dame, are more about the actual... are more about the name than the actual fit. So just so I want to give you guys a peek behind the curtain... the F of fit is on one line,
yeah,
and the it of fit is on the other.
Sure.
And I thought that TC was saying F it. And I was like, how does that work in a sentence? Paul George hasn't done anything in like a decade. That doesn't scare me at all. Horse could wake up, though, and do something. That'd be cool. What is your timetable for when you'd like to see the Bucks, quote, do something, Gabe?
Before training camp? I mean, again, they're not going to be big players for any of these names that you're seeing out there. You're not going to see Klay Thompson.
We want to get in before Packers training camp.
No, it could be even before regular training camp. I mean, Dame didn't come until Bucks training camp had opened last year, if you remember. And I would prefer any new players get here before Bucks training camp opens. But you're just going to have to be patient, because that's what the Bucks are going to be as they search out any sort of trade that they might be able to work out. And it's going to be tough, because if you trade somebody like Brook Lopez, you got to get something pretty decent back. But the problem is, somebody who might be looking for Brook is looking to get better now, and they don't want to give up assets to the Bucks that are going to help the Bucks right now.
What are you looking from trading Lopez?
What are you looking to get?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking to get younger.
Like that?
You're looking to get younger. But again, the problem is, unless you're just trading him to be an expiring deal for him to go someplace else, what you're going to get back is typically only future assets. So you got to find that perfect right fit that you're getting something back and both of you can win the trade, which is hard to do.
And I expect them to be shopping in the veteran minimum bin at the store as well. And I don't know if there are a lot of options there that are going to be a good fit or get you the production that you need.
How does Chris Dunn sound to you? You familiar with Chris Dunn?
That is the name I have seen everywhere.
Yeah, that's the one that seems to be makes the most sense in terms of being a bigger guard who can help you out defensively.
Athletic.
Yeah. And I mean, he's not going to give you that much offensively, but you don't necessarily need that with Chris and Giannis
and
Dame.
What are you selling him on, by the way? Is it playing with Giannis and Dame? Is it the chance at a title? Is it saying you're going to get a lot of minutes out there?
Yeah, you're going to be a starting guard on a team with championship aspirations.
Who do you replace Lopez with if you're not trading for that position?
Well, it depends. Well, so Chris Dunn would be a minimum signing. He would not be a trade. Chris Dunn would be one of those veteran signings.
Well, they do need a defender.
Yeah, which
so
is why
sign someone.
Which
regardless.
Is why Chris, yes, which is why Chris Dunn is the one that I think is popular on Bucks Twitter. It seems to be the one that makes the most sense for the Bucks. We'll see if that ends up being a match made in heaven.
I don't know. I'm not going to feel great going into the season. Just not. I mean,
which is fine.
Wrong.
Right, that's because, fine. Again, the first time they were bounced in the first round, it was like, it was fluky.
Yeah.
It was fluky. And then they were bounced again in the first round, and I know Giannis was injured, but like, it feels like you have to do some mental gymnastics to convince yourself that the Bucks are one of the top teams in the East right now, given the last two seasons and how they were bounced, and all of the moves that you're seeing other teams making. Again, not every one of those moves is going to pan out. Did I see Kelly Oubre? They also signed. They also extended Oubre. I'm seeing his name up there on the list in front of me.
Yeah, so they got Oubre, Eric Gordon, Andre Drummond.
I mean, the Celtics aren't losing anybody.
Correct. Everybody is under their big six that we talked about around their finals run. All six of those players under contract for this upcoming season. So they didn't have to worry about any of that. But they are going to be without Porzingis, who is going to miss the first chunk of the season because he needed surgery after the season.
Yeah.
Who knows how healthy he's going to be. They've got some guys who are getting older on that roster as well, like Drew.
But are the Celtics the best team in the NBA and then there's a gap?
This past year, yes. I don't know about this upcoming year. I think teams are closing that gap because with the Celtics, again, Horford's not getting any younger.
No, I know.
Drew's not getting any younger. They're going to want to do some things to try to add to the fringes of their roster.
Yeah, I get it. But to me, it feels like the only way they don't repeat is if they're like, get the, kind of like we did in Super Bowl 32.
No, I mean, there are teams in the
not
West.
Not as hungry.
There are teams in the West that are getting, I mean, Oklahoma City's going to be really good next year.
Minnesota.
Minnesota's got an ownership problem to figure out.
All right, let me have a conversation that nobody really wants to talk about because up on top of the screen right now on GetUp, you've got Brian Windhorst talking about health. And he's talking about how the Clippers at one point looked like they were going to be the world beaters in the West, and then they couldn't stay healthy. Paul George understands that. He knows that. How are the Bucks going to stay healthy? We have talked about load management here. We've talked about the league's position on load management. We've talked about Giannis playing for the Greek national team. I don't know how that has shaken out. I just saw him in the Greek uniform lining up and on the court for them. How are they going to keep Giannis healthy? You can't bubble boy him.
No.
Can you restrict his minutes? Can you convince Giannis that, again, regular season doesn't really matter, even though you do need time to work with whoever they end up obtaining and Dame Lillard? I mean, how do you keep Giannis healthy so that he's available in the postseason, which gives you the best chance of winning a title?
Prayer?
You're familiar with the rosary.
Because, again, like it's not like it's with Giannis. It's not like it is with Christian Watson with the Packers, right? With Christian Watson, it's like, oh, here you go, hamstring again. Who knows with that hamstring? Like, it's a bunch of different things with Giannis. Like, the soleus injury, the calf injury he had at the end of the year, seems pretty fluky, right? Seems very fluky that happened when it happened. He just kind of took a step wrong and, oh, there he goes.
Well, I'm still not buying the fact that it's not tied into the Achilles, because I've had a bad Achilles throughout my career, and I tore my calf. In a game, which was probably connected to it. But there's some things you just can't control in your body.
Yeah.
You know? Like Watson, if he has a chronic hamstring, then you have a chronic... There's nothing you can do about it.
Correct.
But I don't know from a load management standpoint... Does he have to change the way he plays the game?
Then you can't... No.
No, I know
because if
that.
He changes the way he plays his game, the game, he's not as
he's
good.
He's not Giannis.
He's not Giannis.
Yes.
He can't be the dominant guy who has been so good for the Bucks the last handful of years.
Does he have to learn how to play 80% like towards the end of the regular season?
And again, there's a part of load management that is selfish, right? Because you're trying to prolong your health or keep yourself healthy, and then you're foregoing certain games during the regular season in order to do so. And I don't think Giannis is selfish at all. Like, I don't think he has that thread. I don't think that's in his DNA to be selfish. I think he wants to put himself out there every moment to win games. He cares about the regular season, whether we have been trained to or not. But they have to figure that out. Right? Did I see, Gabe, and I'm reading here just to clarify, the Greek national team's first games, I think they played some friendlies over the last week or so. Mm-hmm. The qualifying tournament actually starts tomorrow, runs until the 7th. And so that is what you will see Giannis playing in. But did I see that there was a Bucks coach with him? There was some film.
Vin's
moment
over there?
Yeah, so that would lead me to believe they're trying to keep tabs on him, keep an eye on him, right? Just have somebody there who can manage that situation.
Well, he said in some media availability over there that he hadn't really been on a basketball court. So, you know, he's been rehabbing the injury, obviously in the gym doing different things, but he hasn't been on the basketball court doing basketball things, just focusing on getting healthy with that calf injury. So I think that, you know, you got Vin over there just to, yeah, like you said, keep tabs on him, probably going through some individual workouts just so you have a guy over there as well so you know what's going on.
No panic yet or starting to panic. You're seeing all these moves in the Eastern Conference. You're seeing, obviously, the 76ers, Pacers making some moves. You know about what the Knicks did as well. Starting to panic or no panic for the Bucks in the Eastern Conference? Because they haven't done anything. And Gabe says don't expect them to until several weeks from now.
I mean, something could happen toward the end of this week, you know, as the top guys start to kind of, you know, all right, all these top guys are signed. Now we can move on to the second wave of free agency, which is when a lot of those veteran minimum contracts happen. Like a Chris Dunn signing could happen whenever. But if you're expecting some sort of big trade, again, that's going to take a little bit of time as teams maybe lose out on free agency or looking for a guy, and now they pivot to a different plan where the Bucks in a trade could come into play.
Feels like something you could put some money down on at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and their new sports book. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. We have talked about it multiple times, guys, but if you haven't been to the sports book yet, all this talking is not going to do it justice. I can tell you about the 2,000-foot wall, the video wall where you can watch multiple games at once. I can tell you about all of the tastes and smells coming out of its new restaurant, the kitchen, or the VIP deck, or the seating for over 200 people. But you need to experience it firsthand. Get on down to the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and their new sports book. You and your friends will have a great time enjoying your favorite sports games, sports races, sports whatever it is, and also enjoying how convenient it is to bet on those games. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie. It's time for you to get in on the action.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life. And that usually means a visit to my guy, Dean. Dean, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when the day comes for my four boys to take that next step in their lives, you can bet they will be heading into the Jewelry Center for their engagement rings. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, and Burlington today, or check out their full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
When I was young, it's not my problem. It's not my problem.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of reaction rolling in regarding the Bucks and whether or not people are panicking about what is going on in free agency. Again, I assume that if the Bucks do something, right? I feel like it's a little like that meme of the thing with the stick poking at the thing, saying, just do something. Bucks, do something. But again, Horst doesn't want to operate from that desperate perspective either, because he believes he has, one, a generational talent in Giannis who will be healthy. We'll all get to see him perform as he competes for the Greek national team over the next week or so. Dame Lillard, who is also a generational shooter in this league, and then pieces around that can supplement some of the other areas. I think the concern that any Bucks fans have, if there are concerns, is they're worried that the gap might be widening between where the Bucks are currently and these other teams that are going out there trying to compete with the Boston Celtics, Gabe.
Yeah, and you see these other teams making moves because they have the cap space to do so. The Bucks don't. When you have Giannis, when you have Dame, it's going to limit what you can do with the contracts. Like, Philadelphia, after this, they're going to be very, very limited. They're going to be also in that market looking for a bunch of veteran minimum players because they're going to go top-heavy with their roster and see if that's a way that you can do it with three guys versus the Celtics' six guys that they had. But as we continue to see, and we saw it, I think, in both the West and the East, health has been just such a big part of who is winning NBA championships recently. Who's healthy, who's not, and the healthiest team at the end is usually the one that's been left standing.
Why is that? I mean, we've looked at, over the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, NFL teams have kind of handled this when it comes to injuries. Obviously, they don't practice as hard. Their training camps aren't as difficult as they used to be. I think Aaron Jones last year was a little bit of load management, whether it was he creating the load management or the Packers. It just seems like the NFL does a better job with handling their players.
Wholeheartedly disagree.
Why is that?
Because the NFL is a physical, violent game, and you can't really predict a lot of the injuries that happen. Like when David Bakhtiari tears his ACL, or a different player tears his ACL, or Aaron Rodgers tears his Achilles, or Kirk Cousins tears his Achilles.
Yeah, but you look at the playoff teams, their quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, from a quarterback standpoint, yes, they've figured that out because of the rules they've built around the quarterbacks.
So why don't they do the same thing in basketball? And I understand you can't have 30 games of load management because people want to go see their superstars in the stands.
Sure, but you also can't like protect one position in basketball the way you can protect the one position of the quarterback.
Yeah, but why is that? You have baseball. You're monitoring pitchers and how many pitches they're throwing. Why can't you just... I mean, I get Giannis wants to play, but sometimes you got to protect him from himself and say, okay, we have 25 games left in the regular season. Sorry, you're only going to play half the game. It's the way it is. We're making the playoffs. You're only going to play half the game. It's the same as what they do with pitchers.
Well, but Chew, the dynamic with Giannis is, and I want to be very cautious how I deliver this message, aren't they always sort of acquiescing to him anyway because the goal is to keep him in Milwaukee as long as possible?
Yes.
Right? Isn't that a reality of, so you're saying we have to protect him from himself, but if he says he wants to play and you're telling him he can't play, doesn't that then maybe cause a rift that then might have lingering and long-term consequences?
It does, but... It's happened the last year. If Giannis isn't playing in the playoffs, it's over.
Correct.
I don't care. I don't care. You said with Indiana this year, they can still beat. No, they can't. They can't beat anyone without Giannis.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Then Dame got hurt, and, well, that kind of did that.
I'm just saying, you want your quarterback for the playoffs.
Yes.
And he hasn't been, so there's got to be some way to protect him from himself. No?
Yeah, but I don't know if him... I don't think he played too much, and that's why he injured his calf. Right?
But we don't know. Like, it could be a possibility. It could be a...
Well, we knew he had a bad Achilles, right? He was getting treatment on the Achilles.
Sure.
So the neck bone's connected to the ankle bone and all that stuff.
The neck bone?
I just think it's all tied in. I really do. And I think injuries like that... I've noticed injuries like that with me resulted from dehydration. I wasn't properly hydrated. I'm huge on hydration.
So, yeah, you've got, famously, yes. you've got your 100 ounces of water right next to you.
Again, if I were running the Bucks, and again, I want to be conscious of the delicate, I think, relationship. And the relationship isn't delicate, but the dance that you do of, we want Giannis to stay in Milwaukee as long as possible. But that happens if Giannis is happy, so we do things to make Giannis happy. I wouldn't have let him participate with the Greek national team. I would have said, I'm sorry, bud. We're coming off of a playoff where you weren't available.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why you weren't available. Fluky health thing. But we want to protect you as much as possible. One way that we can limit your usage is to say, no, we don't want you participating in that. And maybe they did articulate that. And Giannis said, I want to do it, so I'm going to do it. I'm just saying, like, I'm grasping at straws here, Gabe, because I would like to get this team back to the championship. I would like to see them in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would like to see this team go further than they have the last couple of seasons. And if Giannis is injured, one way to do that is to keep him from being injured. And the way to do that is to limit his usage. And ipso facto, don't play during the summer.
But you have to play during the summer at some point.
Oh, exactly.
Like if you're, so it's okay if he plays scrimmage games under Buck supervision, but you can't play in the Olympics.
But again, that's why I would say you said Vin Baker is there, right?
Yeah.
It's probably to manage the situation a little bit and make sure that their investment is protected.
I mean, I think he's just there with Giannis. Like, yeah, maybe runs them through some individual workouts, but I can't imagine. Like, I can't imagine Vin's going to be stepping in and going, "Excuse me, coach, Giannis has hit his minutes limit. I know there's 3 minutes left in this game." Like, I can't imagine that that actually happens.
But you look at Joe Burrow, right? He's been injured a lot throughout his NFL career. Mm-hmm. You know they're doing something. Like, nope, you're not doing that. Sorry. We can't win the Super Bowl without you, so we are going to restrict and watch every single thing you do.
So what restrictions are we talking about when Giannis is in the regular season? You talked about the Achilles injury. So if you're going, undergoing any kind of treatment, you're not playing until the treatment's over?
I don't know. I don't know basketball, but I know these guys get so beat down at the end of the regular season that, and I told you this, when I played, you start, when you walk into that building for training camp, you start at 100%.
Game. Yep.
You start, and then hopefully by the end of the year, the best you're going to be is 88%.
It's just one of those things where I don't know how much you can control injuries, right? Like, you can do everything perfect. Like, we followed this perfectly to plan, and then he tweaks his ankle somehow, right? Like, just comes down and lands on the floor.
I get it. When you're wearing your seatbelt and going the speed limit. Like, you're right. Things happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how much you can limit this. And you can have a perfect plan, and it just doesn't matter.
Okay, but let me ask you this then. Do you think that the league, the NBA, starts to rethink its position on the load management restrictions? Because what would you rather have, NBA, guys playing all of these games during the regular season and then missing the most important part of your season, the playoffs, so that you end up with questions about whether or not the Boston Celtics won a legitimate title or if they had the easiest path in the history of the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you prefer teams be able to load manage during the regular season so that the superstars are available when their team makes the postseason and you have those guys, those all-stars, actually playing for their teams?
Well, but again, like, it's, I think 65 games is an appropriate amount. Like, missing 17 games throughout the course of the regular season, that's enough if you want to load management guys. They've gotten rid of a lot of the back-to-backs. They've done a lot of things. But at the same time, you still need to make your fans happy who are paying for the tickets during the regular season. Like, it's a delicate balance if you're the NBA. Yeah, you'd like these guys to be healthy. But at the same time, like, you're not saying, oh, you have to play 80 of 82 games. 65 is the minimum to be eligible for a lot of the awards in the postseason. So I think that they're doing the best that they can.
But it's not working.
Well, for Giannis.
Well, there were a lot of beat-up teams, though. I mean, you said Thibodeau with the Knicks.
Yeah,
but
he just drives them into the ground.
Yeah, they're a much different team.
The list is long, Gabe. You know the list of guys that were not in the playoffs, superstar players that were not in the playoffs.
Sure, but at the same time, you go back a year before, and Giannis was injured, but Embiid was healthy. Like, I mean, other guys were healthy. Injuries are just one of those things that, as much as we want to try to control them, they're just not controllable. You can try the best you can, and again, I think, in a perfect world, having somebody miss 17 games is still plenty to do all the load management stuff that you want to do.
Basketball is basketball too physical? Because look at what the NFL did, Gabe.
Yeah.
Took the headshots out, took all these plays out, took the, what's the tackling that you can't do anymore this year?
Oh, yeah, the drop, stop, and roll.
Yeah.
Stop.
You know
the guy's
I mean?
On fire, you can't put him
but
out anymore.
But the NFL is constantly looking...
Yeah.
A, to keep their player safety so mm-hmm. they're around for playoffs.
The NBA, I think you can argue, especially in the second half of the season, went the other way. They were allowing a lot more physical play.
Yeah.
That certainly could be a part of it.
All right.
But you also don't want to be blowing whistles every other
Very
possession.
Very true. Very true.
Mad City Brew saying, the problem is tell Giannis to not play so hard on every play. He really got hurt trying to block shots right before going down and then on the next play. Look, you're a Bucks fan. You want Giannis on the court as much as possible. But if you're a Bucks fan, you have to recognize that maybe being on the court as much as possible leads to some of these injuries towards the end of the season that have kept him out of the most important part of the season. So, it's a mystery. It's a conundrum. But it's definitely something that Bucks fans are aware of and that Bucks fans are watching and would like to see change going forward. I guess we'll just keep waiting for a solution for that situation. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Summerfest is back. That's right. Big gig popping for one more weekend on Milwaukee's Lakefront. We want to send you out there. Callers 4 and 5. Callers 4 and 5 right now to 800-990-3776. Win a 4-pack of tickets to Summerfest. 4 tickets on us to take your friends, family, whoever you want. Callers 4 and 5 right now. 800-990-3776 for tickets for Summerfest. Those fields are gone.
this straight. So last week, when there was a game decided by a pitching clock infraction, rule infraction, I said, I don't like it. I don't like, first of all, want to be clear, which I was not on Around the Horn. You have to enforce the rules that exist. Boom. And period. End of sentence. However, I don't like a game being decided by a pitch clock infraction. I don't like in a ninth inning with the bases loaded and a tie game, a pitcher not being allowed an extra moment or two to relax and breathe and throw the very best pitch he can in that situation. And I was mocked relentlessly.
As you should have been.
On Around the Horn.
Yeah, you should have been, yes.
Baseball just announced yesterday that they are changing the home run derby rules to reduce the frantic pace of the contest. Oh, so we're okay reducing the frantic pace of the home run derby, but the frantic pace that a pitcher might be under in the final inning of a tie game, bases loaded, sorry, pal, deal with it. I don't want to go down the path of how are they different. My point is, you recognize that the clock creates a franticness. So in the home run derby game, they have decided that they want to do away with that to give the viewer and the athlete the best chance to put the ball in play, to knock it out of the park so that the fans see the home runs.
This has nothing to do with the athlete. It has everything to do. The home run derby is one thing and one thing only. It is entertainment. And they are trying to figure out the best way to make the home run derby entertaining for the fans in the stadium and the fans who are watching at home when we have it here in a couple of weeks. That's the only thing that the home run derby is. So they've been endlessly tweaking this thing, I don't know, it feels like for the last 10 or 15 years at this point, trying to figure out the way to keep it entertaining, but not make it drag on too long like it did under the old system, but make it still, you know, compact and people can understand what's going on, because you got extra time for X amount of balls, and then it was too convoluted. So they're trying to make it simpler so you can consume it easier.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Can players in the field call timeout? What if you get stung by a bee in the face? You can't call timeout.
Well, if the pitcher's,
if you're the center fielder,
if the pitcher's standing on the mound with the ball, it's probably not going to be granted. No, I mean, after the pitch is thrown and they throw it back, yes, they'd probably pause the game to have a trainer out and look at you if you had a bee sting in the face.
We did this in football all the time, and you know it happens. If you're tired, if the clock's up against you, you just fall down and grab your calf and say you're having a cramp. Which is a lie a lot of times, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
So if a player at second base sees the pitch clock going down, he can't fall down and say, ooh, my arm.
No, I think they would let the play, much like when a basketball player goes down with an injury and they continue the fast break on the other end, they would wait until there's a dead ball to come out and look
at
you.
So the only one that can call timeout is the batter?
Batter, catcher, pitcher, yeah, because the pitcher can step off.
Which is why in that conversation that we had about the pitcher who had the infraction, the catcher should have probably called time.
Yeah.
To at least stop, if he was recognizing
the
that they were, to keep that from happening. But the home run derby thing, guys, I agree that you can tweak it and you're trying to make it as good, great for fans, but why? How did this get so complicated? Like with the golden ball and what just happened to throw 30 pitches.
Yeah.
Your guy, if you want it to be your dad or your pitching coach or whoever, and then whoever hits the most out wins. Like, why did it be? Why are there all these layers to it?
And I think that's what they're doing with this, because it's more set on how many pitches you get to see versus, oh, you just have 10 outs. And then you have a guy like, and as cool as it was when Josh Hamilton hit, 30, 40, whatever it was in one round and kind of tired himself out, like as cool as it was, it doesn't really fit nicely into that TV window that ESPN's looking for, because now it can go too long. So you're trying to make sure you can time it and be able to fit it perfectly in a consumable TV window. But then you're trying to make it fun and entertaining, and this is what happens when focus groups come together, because they're probably thinking, oh, in the NBA, in the three-point contest, that last one, well, that one's worth double as this one, so let's have a golden ball. But then if you hit one so far, then you get extra time, and you're just too many people probably getting together to make it way overcomplicated.
I agree with Jen. You have to swing at every ball. I'm sorry. You have to swing at every one. You get 30 pitches or whatever. You don't want to swing, you don't swing. But that counts as one ball.
I think that's kind of what they're going towards here.
So okay. Let me just give you a rundown of what has been said. The rules for the 2024 Home Run Derby have been altered significantly. Some of the changes are designed to reduce the frantic pace that has concerned participants. Gabe, I know you mentioned the fans being the driving force behind this, but they are saying that participants have complained about the frantic pace. Within each player's timed round, the hitter will see a maximum of 40 pitches, similar to how there is a maximum number of basketball shot in the NBA three-point contest. This will place a greater premium on efficiency between the batting practice pitchers and the hitters. Chewy, to your point, you have to swing. Because it used to be you'd watch one, wait for it to be right over the plate, right there, you know, in your sweet spot, and then but now it's like, no, you just got to take swings. Since the Derby moved to a timed format in 2015, the round of swings have often shifted into a race of the hitter and pitcher trying to get through as many as possible. They apparently don't want that anymore. In last year's Derby, all of the participants averaged more than 43 swings per round. When you're watching the Home Run Derby, guys, are you ever like, that guy got screwed? Are you ever like, oh, that guy was better, but because of the format, he didn't win? Like, look, to me, this is one of those, like, jovial things in the summer that you kind of, you don't really have anything else going on, so you plop down in front of the television for a few hours, and you enjoy the competitiveness and the drama of it. I don't know that anybody is sitting here. I'm a little surprised that they are taking this sort of action to change something that, for the most part, I think people don't really care
about.
Well,
you just didn't know. Because before the ball's even like in the outfield, the pitcher's ready to go and
correct.
Fire.
That was the other. And then at one point they changed the rule where you had to wait until it landed before they could start. The
well,
next
but then
pitching
if you
motion.
Have a super long home run and it takes a while to land, that becomes a competitive disadvantage. And it's just become overcomplicated and convoluted. And they're trying to make so many people happy between making it fit in the perfect TV window, making the fans be able to enjoy it. It's a tough thing to do.
Who apparently have weighed in saying that there is a concern for injury in the second half of the season. That was the old thing that we heard all the time, too, was guys were worried that violent swing over and over and over again might cause
injuries.
Which
is such BS.
No, not really.
I'm going to tell you this right now. Like, I'm saying in the old format, like, because the old thing was, oh, you don't want to win the home run derby. It's going to ruin your swing for the second half of the season. You know what guys do a lot in batting practice within teams?
Swing for the fence.
They play home run derby.
Yeah, but Gabe, it's like a scramble, right? When you play a scramble in golf and you're on the tee and get, Gabe, we need you to rip one here.
Yeah.
Doesn't that affect your game maybe the next two rounds you play? You gotta kind of get it out of your head because you're swinging for the fence.
It used to. I've played enough scrambles that now where I've been able to rein it in.
Guys were saying that it was the accelerated pace that they were concerned was contributing to an increase of injuries, not so much just the
because you're just boom.
Is Milwaukee on the books for another All Star game? Isn't it about time?
I doubt we will ever get another All Star game.
Why? I don't want to hear hotel rooms. Just shut the hell up with hotel rooms.
It's just we got our one with the new stadium. And that was the one we got.
When you just threw your hands up in the air, was that an ode to Bud Selig? You just threw your hands up in the air.
I mean, it was the one we got, right? Like, Milwaukee's not a hotbed for a place that a lot of players or executives or TV people want to go. So that's just, they got their one.
Okay.
Apparently, we got to be happy with that.
Additionally, the first round will no longer be a head-to-head bracket. Instead, the top four from the first round will advance, which always made sense as well. Because if you had two people just absolutely
putting on a show.
And then the one guy like, oops, sorry, he hit one more than you. Right, but I hit seven more than anyone else.
That's
the breaks.
The way it goes.
Yeah, all right. We roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
Tune into Thanasis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars like Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, his own brother Giannis, basketball media royalty like Jay Williams, Stephen A. Smith, and that's just some of the names that have been involved with Season 2 of Thanalysis. Find Thanalysis Show today, Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.
It started with a whisper.
Relive the greatest postseason run in Bucks history. With Bucks in 6 podcast, Bucks in 6 presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling 7-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. Few things that we've thrown on the polls today at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. So the Brewers smashing five grand slams in the last eight games. What should the new nickname for AmFam Field be? Should it be Slam Fam Field or Am Slam Field? It's a tight race, Chew, but 53% saying Slam Fam Field.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the other one flows off the tongue a little
bit. So
better.
I get the Slam Fam Field because you're just sliding the SL in front of the Am.
Mm-hmm.
But Am Slam Field, I feel like...
Rolls a little better.
It rolls a little bit better. So if you're voting in that, I'm just asking you, say it out loud to yourself before you decide to vote. Brewers starting a road trip now, going to be out in Colorado beginning tonight. Also off of that, is it too early to start thinking about the Brewers as World Series contenders? 72% saying yes, it is still too early.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, they got
a good grip on the division. They should be fine.
Once you hit this point in the season, we're past the midpoint. Like, I mean, what, we All-Star break? I mean, at what point do you start thinking about it? Because at the end of this month, which is going to be here before you know it, like, that's when the trade deadline is. And if you're thinking about being a contender, that's when you got to go make a move. So I disagree with the folks on that one. And after seeing the 76ers, Knicks, and Pacers make some free agent splashes this offseason, are you starting to panic about the Bucks standing in the Eastern Conference? 60% of people so far are saying they are starting to panic.
You know what today is in football terms, right?
What is today in football terms?
What would it be?
First down?
No. 2 days off, end of the week?
Oh, so today's Wednesday.
On a
Monday.
Wednesday
so that
on a Monday.
So that explains, Chris, why this guy was in such a good mood today.
Wednesday on a Monday. So it's really Wednesday.
Well, I know it's been a while since you've been on a Monday, Chris, but the three of us, when this show first started, when we first started a morning show, it was the three of us. So you know, Chris, how grumpy this dude can typically be on a Monday.
Yes, indeed.
I hate Mondays. I think everyone hates Mondays. You don't even need to poll that.
Do you hate Mondays?
Yes, it's terrible.
Yeah, but you were actually in a pretty
There's
good
a little
mood
pep.
Today. Yeah, you had a little pep today.
Tomorrow's Thursday on a
Tomorrow's
Tuesday.
Thursday
Mondays
on a Tuesday.
Will probably be the second worst day of the week, I would think. First will probably be Tuesdays. Tuesday's like a nothing.
Tuesday has no feel.
Yeah.
Wednesday has a feel.
Yeah.
Friday has a feel.
Yeah,
no. worst day of the week. Have you decided what you're going to do about your fourth party? So for those,
I got to talk to the general, see what she says. She's right in step with me.
So for those who missed the conversation earlier in the show, you can catch the entire thing. It was the first segment of the first hour when the podcast is posted with Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. But Chewy throwing a 4th of July party. People are coming over. He's cool with his son's dog coming over, but there are four other dogs that are set to come over.
And
that
it's
not
chaotic.
Okay,
where we're at there on the lake, they'll be, because most people have a party on the lake.
Oh, yeah, because
the family. So
if you're not having a party on the lake on the 4th of July,
and you've been out there, that little bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be, I don't know, 150 people.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I'm watching dogs either.
No, that's not on you.
I'm not watching dogs. I mean, dogs will wander off, right?
And especially because in this situation, again, if you own a dog, just be respectful to other people.
And most people are.
Yeah, but in the area that you have, because there's no fenced yards back there, because you're pretty close with all those neighbors, and you know, the one time I was out there, it was just kind of a party for everybody.
Yes.
Everybody's just hanging out in all the yards back there, but at the same time, I don't want my dog going and taking a dump in somebody else's yard. Like, they didn't say it was okay for me to bring the dog over.
Maybe I'll build a playpen for the dogs.
Build up like a little doggy daycare they can sit in?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll get it squared away.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see how that plays out. Again, I can't believe they didn't even ask if they could bring their dogs over. That's the part that I just absolutely cannot believe. So as Chewy mentioned, it is a Wednesday on a Monday. But Wildy and Tausch, they've got a Wednesday on a Monday, too. They're coming up next, 94.5 ESPN.